You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. The band is back together. It's myself, Mo Bunksy, alongside, as always, Mr. BJ Armstrong, and every Monday, Mr. Scott Perry. How are you guys doing? Had a good weekend?
Great weekend, Mo.
Yes, sir.
You guys doing all right?
All blessed. I've seen a clip over the weekend of Manu Ginobili, 47 years old, still dunking a basketball in a game in Argentina. Right? I'm wondering when I'm going to see you two on the court in a game in Detroit.
Those days are long gone.
It's your world now, Mo. It's your world.
Yeah. Yeah, we live through you, Mo. We live through you.
I know that's a good idea.
You've been taking care of the guys down at the rec center out in London. You know, taking them in the low post, bodying them up. So we know.
Come on, dog. It's been an eventful start to the season in the NBA. Scott, I asked BJ this last week, but I wanted to ask you, what stood out to you the most so far through this early season period of the first 2 weeks?
Two teams that stood out to me. First, I'll start in the Eastern Conference. Let's show some respect and love to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. Man, I really like how they are playing the game of basketball. You've got to give a lot of credit to the new coach and staff led by Kenny Atkinson. How he has his team playing, they really are sharing the ball. And what I really see from him, too, he's unlocking all of the vast potential that Evan Mobley had. Now, I want to pat myself on the back. Evan Mobley was my guy, is the breakout guy this year. Mm-hmm. But you can see what he's doing with this young man. He's allowing him to, he's grabbing rebounds. He's initiating breaks at times. He's aggressive, looking to score much more than he ever has since he's been an NBA player. And it's a big reason why this team sits at 7-0 right now. They're playing confidently. It appears that Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland really now are starting to build some sort of chemistry and a bond. You know, there was rumors that they weren't always on the same page when they first got started, but I really like what I'm seeing, and they're getting some really good play from the bench. Caris LeVert, Georges Niang, Sam Merrill. So they have shooting coming off the bench. I like the camaraderie that I'm seeing from this team. It's early, but let's give them a little bit of love here. And I really like what I'm seeing there. And then in the Western Conference, I applaud the OKC Thunder. They took what they did last season very seriously, came back, and they're sending the message right away that they're here to compete for a championship. Chet Holmgren has improved greatly. Jalen Williams, it's gotten a lot better. My favorite for the MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, continues to impress. And they haven't even received contributions yet from Isaiah Hartenstein on the court because he's been injured. Alex Caruso, he's going to fit in and figure it out. And it's getting contributions from guys like Isaiah Joe, Wiggins. So I like their depth. I like their focus. And I believe every game they won this year thus far has been by 12 points or more. So that's a testament, again, to their focus, their depth, their talent. And so those two teams have stood out for me, and that's been my storyline going into this year.
Absolutely. They're the two top teams so far, when you really look at the records and how things have been going. Something stood out to me that I think that you guys are going to like, because we spoke last season about one Mr. Brandon Ingram of New Orleans. And I know you guys are big fans of him. I thought the Pelicans should move on in a different direction. But it's a contract year this year, and he started off the season firing. He's currently putting up 24 points, 4 assists, 6-7 rebounds a game. But the biggest jump in his game has come in his three-point shooting. He's almost doubled the amount of attempts that he takes, and he's knocking them down at 42% from the field. If you're the New Orleans Pelicans, you've already got Zion, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy. Are you looking at this new Brandon Ingram as, well, this is a contract year, XYZ, because we know players have a little jump in their contract year? Or are you then trying to throw the extension out there and keep him as part of this team? Because the Pelicans have had a very shaky start to the season.
Well, for me, it's going to all get down to how much do they win. If this team finishes as a play-in group, You've got, as talented as he is, you've got to try to figure out what do you want to do moving forward. You don't want to strap yourself financially with a group that's unable to consistently win in this league. So it's all, and from where I sit, it would all get down to how much does this team win? And I'm not, I know they have a couple guys out right now and all that kind, but you cannot use those as excuses. They've got to produce this year. This, if this team finishes in the top four or five in the Western Conference, then we can talk about an extension. If not, then we got to try to figure out what we need to do moving forward in terms of changing the look of this roster, because they've been together for a little while now. You know, look, Zion Williamson, I know he's been the face of the team, and he's been injured a lot as well, too. So they've got some tough decisions ahead, and but it starts with how are they going to be able to produce this season. And to your point, thus far, they've gotten off to a shaky start. So I would be I'm evaluating with a little bit of caution right now if I'm sitting in that seat.
BJ, what are your thoughts? Because we've talked about the Pelicans just a little bit so far in the show last week, and you said you're going to have a more in-depth look at them. They're currently 3-4. What's your take on this team? I know DeJounte Murray's not been playing, and that was their big move of the offseason, but how are you looking at New Orleans?
Well, when you certainly, you know, when you rattle off the names of talent that you just, you know, you just shared, and you just what you just, you know, you put those names out there, you go, that's a very talented group. With that talent automatically comes the expectations. I think we can all say that this group is probably underachieved as it currently, you know, is constructed here as a group. Because of the talent, you have two all-star caliber players in Brandon Ingram and Zion. And then you start putting the Trey Murphys and CJ McCullers. I know they have Herb Jones, and then the kid they just got from Atlanta. I can't think of his name right now.
Deontay Murray.
Yes. So you have him there. So when you start looking at this group, and, you know, Scott and I are partial. You know, Willie Green is a Detroit guy, so we're constantly rooting for Coach Green there. But the fact remains, they haven't played well. Now, in saying all of that, you know, as an executive, you have to ask yourself this question. The best ability is availability. I think as Scott alluded to, that Zion hasn't been available. Brandon hasn't been available. The question comes up now, you know, he started out the first half of the season, but, you know, you need your players, especially your best players, to be available, especially if you commit to them financially. That's just the rules of the game. And so there are a lot of questions. This isn't a talent issue. It's now your availability. Now, we know injuries happen. However, you have to take a calculated risk or a calculated whatever it is you need to do to say, are we going to commit to them? Because when you have a player that's going to command the contracts that those players are going to command, and then they're not available, we know what that can do to a franchise. So, but as talent, no questions here.
It's crazy because I'm looking at the Pelicans injury report now, and they literally have a starting five that could play in the playoffs out injured. Zion Williams day-to-day with hamstring. Herb Jones is out for 2 to 4 weeks with a shoulder strain. CJ McCollum is out with a right abductor strain. DeJounte Murray is out after he had a surgery on his hand, expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And Trey Murphy is out with his hamstring. So it's tough for New Orleans. But you can see other teams in the league, players that are more injury prone, they kind of pad their roster around more durable guys. So that way, if they are missing depth, you can kind of keep the ship sailing. You know, like OKC are missing Hartenstein, but they can still do things to adjust around that. Celtics are missing Porzingis and now Jaylen Brown. They can still do things to adjust around that. But with New Orleans, it seems like everyone is injured all of the time. And as much as we like the talent of these players, and as much as we like, you know, the potential of what they could do together, at some point, you're going to have to look at the roster and say, well, we've got 7, 8 great talents that we think can work well, but they can never be healthy at the same time. So maybe it's time we move some of these pieces around.
Look, Mo, bottom line, and I said it just earlier, when you're an executive, when you're talking about paying big contracts, and BJ mentioned the point, you're paying for availability, but you're paying for wins. You're going to commit big contracts and salaries when you think guys are going to consistently help you win. And to me, that is the bottom line here. And that's going to be, in my opinion, the determinant factor, whether this group stays together or not, is what they do this season, and in particular the first half of the season prior to the trade deadline. Because if they're continuing to struggle and they're sitting at 9, 10, 11, 12, then you look at the trade deadline as a time that you possibly may want to look to shake things up. So we'll see. The talent is there, but talent alone doesn't always win your basketball game. So we'll see.
Speaking of talent, I want to ask you guys a question. When you're watching Ja Morant so far this season, have you noticed anything different about his game?
He's still acrobatic going to that basket. Boy, he had a play the other day when he attacked the rim that looked like Ja Morant when he was
How
leaving Murray State coming into the pros. I mean, he looked very
many?
explosive. He looked, it appears, I don't know what his weight is listed at, but for some reason, he looks a tad bigger, stronger right now. And you know, with age, a lot of times comes just that little bit of weight, a little bit of size. So from what I when I've watched him, and I haven't watched him a ton yet, but watched him here the other night, I like what I saw from him, and it looked like he was playing with some poise and under control, and he's I anticipate him to ascend as the season goes on because he can begin trusting his body again coming off of that last year's surgery.
How many dunks have you seen from Ja Morant so far this season?
Many dunks?
Yeah.
I can't. I don't know that I've seen a dunk yet.
There
Have
we
you
go.
seen?
He's only had one, and it was the one where it went in and it bounced off his head and bounced back out, so it didn't count. BJ, do you think that this lack of dunking is Ja easing himself back from injury, or is it a concerted effort to kind of preserve his body from the insane dunks that he usually tries to throw down?
Well, I think that's a natural progression for any player as they mature in this league. You know, when you are younger, you're a little bit more reckless. You depend more on your athletic ability. But I mean, the thing that stood out with me most as I'm watching him early in the season is his ability to organize the team. I mean, his leadership at the point guard position or lead guard, whatever you want to call it today, has been exceptional. And when you look at their team, you know, Scotty, you know, in college basketball and college basketball here in the United States, when you have an excellent lead guard or point guard, that gives you an advantage. And that's what Ja Morant now reminds me. In order to win in today's game in the NBA, you need a lead guard. And you can see the difference when Ja Morant is on the court and when Ja Morant is off the court. And he is doing an exceptional job with this team. And regardless who's in the lineup, as long as he's on the court, they have a chance. So, but I'm sure he'll start back doing what he's going to do. You know, the layups have been just as
Yeah, that's
impressive.
what I see. Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, he, you know, those are just as exciting to me than the dunks. But I'm sure he'll get back to it at some point.
Absolutely. BJ, I do have some bad news for you because I know you got to leave a bit early from the show. Our head-to-head record is now 11-3 in my favor
Okay.
in terms of predicting games. There is no
Is
games happening
it what Mo,
tomorrow.
did you collect my record?
I will have that in my notes somewhere. I don't have it to hand, but we'll have a collective one for
I
next
did
week.
this.
Did you
Okay,
see
all
how he
right.
casually? Did you
But
see how
Scott,
he casually
I think
said
me and
that?
you had pretty much the same picks. So I don't think you had any losses on your record. It's just
I had a couple. I think I missed one. Let's
I
see.
gotta wait because you're only here once a week. I gotta wait to combine it. You know what I mean? Unless we find another way to do it. But before you get out of here, BJ, let's get some picks for tonight's games because there is
Okay,
no
all
games
right.
tomorrow.
Okay.
But we're starting off with the Bucks and the Cavs.
Cavs.
Yeah, you say that pretty
Cavs.
confidently because it was
Yeah,
pretty close the
well, you
last time
know,
these two guys played.
and there's been two major disappointments, or more I shouldn't say disappointments, but there's been two surprising things in the NBA. The start in the Eastern Conference with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
I really thought that they would be one of the better teams and make a push to challenge your Boston Celtics. That's really been a surprise for me to watch this team. And it doesn't look like it's getting better anytime soon in Milwaukee.
Well, the game against the Cavs the other day went right down to a Donovan Mitchell game winner. So it was a slight improvement on getting blown out by bad teams. Well, at least they had a close game.
But Milwaukee was up 16 in that game.
Yeah, now you're talking to me, Scott. See that? Yeah, they were up 16. You have an elite player, or you know you have Dame, and then on the road, and then they just walk you down. And so I'm really, especially off of the losses that they've had, you know, the one in Memphis, for instance, they've had some, what I would say, some games they probably thought they would have won at the beginning of the season. And then the second one in the Western Conference, I'll say this real quick, has been the Denver Nuggets. I'm a little shocked at their start to the season. And Jokic is playing great, but the rest of the team seems to be struggling. And I'm not sure if they have the depth,
the players, the personnel to make a trade. We talked about it all off season.
So I think it's going to be tough. So those two have been kind of more shockers for me because you're talking two of the top five players on both of those rosters.
Scott, you rolling with the Cavs as well?
Yeah, I'm going with the Cavs. Dame and Giannis played great last game in terms of scoring. I think Dame had 41 and Giannis had 36 or whatever, and they still lost. So,
all right. Well, I know BJ's got to run. So, BJ, I'm going to give you all the games. You give me your quick five picks, and then Scott, you and I will dive into the games after BJ has to go. BJ, tell me, Warriors, Wizards?
Warriors.
Lakers, Pistons?
Ooh. That's in Detroit, right?
That's in Detroit.
I'm going to say Lakers.
But may I remind you picked the Raptors over the Lakers on Friday.
And obviously, Mo, I'm not good at this game, so just let me go do what I do. Let me do what I do.
The Celtics and the Hawks.
Raptors had a chance, though.
Yeah. Who's this?
Celtics and the Hawks.
Celtics.
The Grizzlies and the Nets.
Grizzlies.
The Kings and the Heat.
Kings.
The Jazz and the Bulls.
Oh, Bullies.
Knicks, Rockets.
It's in Houston.
I'm going with the Rockets. I'm going with the Rockets there.
Hornets, Timberwolves.
Wolves.
Magic, Thunder.
Thunder.
Blazers, Pelicans. For like the 100th time already this season, Blazers, Pelicans.
The Blazers are going to win one of these games. I'm going Blazers.
Do they not win the second time that they played?
Yeah, they did. They split.
I'm going Blazers.
On the road.
I'm going DeAndre Ayton. I'm going Big Ayton. Ayton.
We're not going to get into that. Pacers, Mavs.
Pacers, Mavs.
Raptors, Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Sixers, Suns. Paul George returning for the Sixers tonight.
Suns.
Spurs, Scott, we'll talk about that. Spurs, exactly. Clippers.
Spurs.
Yep. The Clippers home court isn't too strong so far. But BJ, I appreciate you. We know you got something important.
Okay.
To do,
be good. And I'll be talking to both of y'all later.
All right. No doubt. Okay. No doubt.
All right. Yes.
I appreciate you. Scott.
Yes, sir.
The one of the biggest surprises for me this season, though, is the Golden State Warriors defense.
Yes.
Because, you know, you don't really, in their prime run, you obviously thought of them as a great defense. But the last few years, you've not really held them to that same standard. Especially with now, like Buddy Hield and other players they've acquired are not notorious for being great defensively. Mm-hmm. But Draymond Green has led them. They're currently top three in the West, led them to an amazing defensive start to the season. Is this a surprise to you as it is to me, or is this just business as usual?
A total surprise because Draymond, in terms of giving back to that organization, you know what he's preaching every day, especially to all the new guys coming in like Buddy Hield. This is what we did here when we were champions. We defended at a high level. We were a top five defensive team. And what I like about the group, you have some guys who can guard multiple positions with this group. Jonathan Kuminga has shown that ability. You know that Wiggins can do that as well. The young man Pajemski is a tough-minded young player who can defend multiple positions on the perimeter. I watched him play the other night, and to watch Buddy Hield probably play for a 4 or 5 minute defensive stretch as well as I've seen him play since he's been in the NBA, that lets you know the buy-in that is going on with that team. I believe they understand in order for them to have a chance to really compete in the Western Conference, that's got to be their calling card. As much as their ability is, you know, to shoot the basketball and move it on the perimeter. So I like what I'm seeing. Kyle Anderson, you know, slow-mo is a guy, is an excellent pickup. He's a true professional. Again, another multi-positional defender. I like what I'm seeing out of this group. You look at them on paper, you see other teams that are more talented, but the collective is what I like here. And I'm always, you know, you've heard me talk about that more. I am big on when groups come together, play together, take their egos out of it, and share the game at both ends of the floor. That's what you're seeing early on with this Warriors team. And you expect it to continue. So they will be poised to make some noise in the Western Conference.
They face the Wizards tonight. And although the Wizards don't have a great record, they are probably one of the most fun teams that I've been watching this season so far. Letting the young guys, Alex Saar and Bilal Coulibaly, who's been really impressive, and a bunch of the other guys on the team, going out there and balling out has actually been a joy to watch. But I'm picking the Warriors to beat the Wizards. What about you?
Yes, Warriors. Yeah, definitely.
Now, the real question is, are you going to back your hometown Pistons or are you going to go with the Lakers?
Pistons coming off a back-to-back. They had a hard-fought win against Brooklyn yesterday afternoon. I believe that the Lakers will win. They're sitting there, they've been sitting there in Detroit waiting on them.
I know they've not.
Pardon me?
The Lakers ain't been sitting in Detroit.
Where they've been sitting.
The Lakers have been enjoying a long weekend in Toronto, and that's all I'm going to say on that matter. That's all I'm going to say on that matter. Well, don't ask how I know what I know. Just know that they went to Toronto straight after the Cavs game, and they stayed in Toronto until as long as they possibly could. So I know they ain't been sitting around waiting in a Detroit hotel room. Just know that. But
I'm going to give the Lakers advantage in this. I believe they should.
I think team chemistry will be high. Everyone be in a good mood. Yes. The Celtics and the Hawks.
Celtics,
yeah, that's what I like to hear. The Grizzlies and the Nets, because the Nets have also been a big surprise this season because they've actually been a lot better than people expected.
They have. I watched them play against Detroit yesterday. They play hard. They have guys that Cam Thomas is having a terrific offensive year.
Schroeder as well. That backcourt is just putting up numbers.
Yes, they can score and they compete. But I believe the Grizzlies, I like what I'm seeing from them. They're beginning to, you know, as each game goes by, I think Ja's just going to get better and better. And I've been impressed with the young guy, Zach Edey.
Yep.
He's going to be a good player for that Memphis Grizzlies team. So give me the Memphis Grizzlies.
They played last week and the Brooklyn Nets took a 119-106 win. So I'm expecting the Grizzlies to get some revenge despite all the injuries. The Kings and the Heat. Who you got for that one? The Kings continue their trip on the East Coast.
And that's down in Miami.
In Miami. After the weekend.
The Kings are the more talented team, but I believe Miami would recognize the importance of stacking some wins at home. They've had a couple losses that have been tough at home. I'm going to pick the Heat to win this game.
Yeah, I'm going with Miami because they're at home, and a weekend in Miami is different to a weekend in Toronto.
There might be, they're both secondary to a couple days in Detroit.
Oh man, and it makes me feel better. BJ picked the Kings, so if we're going against BJ, it might just be right. The Jazz and the Bulls. The Jazz, I think, are yet to pick up a win yet this season, right? Yeah, 0-6. Utah Jazz are 0-6.
And is that in Chicago?
It's in Utah.
It's in Utah.
That might be the worst NBA city to spend a weekend in.
Okay, if it's in Utah, I'm going to shock you on this one. The Bulls will be favorite, and the Bulls have surprised me a little bit. They've won a couple games here.
Yeah, they're 500 right now.
Yes, but I am going to take the Utah Jazz in an upset.
Okay. The Knicks and the Rockets. This is an interesting one now.
Knicks and the Rockets. Knicks looked awful good against Detroit. I mean, I know it's the Pistons, but they
I didn't even need to say it.
I know. But they played extremely well. I believe that was the first game where you really saw all five starters play really well. They shot the ball terrific. Got good contributions off the bench. It's from Miles McBride as well. But Houston's coming off a very tough loss at home against Golden State again.
They were down big, managed to take that game to OT.
Yes. They were down almost 30 points.
Yeah, very frustrated they couldn't get out of there.
I believe this is an important game for them to bounce back. If they're going to make a statement to be a playoff team in the Western Conference, they're going to put a lot into this game. I'm going to pick the upset and pick Houston in this game.
I'm picking the Houston Rockets. I want to see Collin Towns try and guard Şengün on the block, and we'll see what happens from there. The Hornets have been fun to watch, but they're playing the Timberwolves tonight, and I'm putting that pretty easily for the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves let one go in San Antonio a couple of days ago, but I like what I'm seeing from the new guys there. Once they get this whole thing figured out, start defending better, I think they'll go on a run. But they'll win at home tonight. Give me the Timberwolves.
The Magic and the Thunder. I mean, this would have been so much more fun if Paolo Banchero wasn't out.
Yes.
Because he had such a great start to the season. And now every game the Magic play, I'm tending not to pick them. But I'm picking Thunder to win every game they play, by the way.
And the Magic were just blown out last night as well. So, yep. By the same team. So give me the Thunder on that.
What about the Pelicans hosting the Blazers? I don't know why BJ picked the Blazers on the road. Do you see it?
The Blazers and Pelicans. Is Zion playing? Do we know if Zion is playing or not?
He's questionable, so we'll find out before the game. Because that might
even
might
without even without Zion. Look, that was a very bad loss for the Pelicans yesterday.
In Atlanta.
Yes, against Atlanta, a team that they're supposed to beat at home, even without Zion, in my opinion. But I'm gonna say the Pelicans bounce back because again, they can't get too far behind in this Western Conference and games that you gotta be able to win at home. They gotta figure out how to win this one at home.
You know what? After looking at the injury report, I talked about it earlier in the show. I'm gonna go with the Blazers as well.
Oh wow.
I just think health. It's kind of a makeshift lineup they're running, Jordan Hawkins starting, respectfully.
And Chauncey, look, they're undermanned, but you know, let me give a little shout out to my guy, Chauncey Billups. He has him fighting. He's trying to get him to believe, and he's showing some coaching chops there. So be great to see him get the win. Even though he's going against another fellow Detroiter, Willie Green, but I'm going to give the home team. Yep. It is tonight.
Pacers, Mavs, but the Mavs are on the second night of a back-to-back at home.
I'm going to go Mavs. The Pacers have been a little bit of a disappointment for me to start the season too, given what they accomplished last year. That's why you can't always just assume what happened a season before is just automatically going to happen again. Now, look, we're early in the season, but I haven't seen the edge.
Do you know what
Pacers
I think it is, Scott?
I like to see.
You know what I think it is? I think the Pacers must listen to this show and they must not like this show. Do you know why?
Why is that?
The only wins they picked up, number one, against Detroit, and number two, against Boston. I'm taking that personally, Indiana.
Exactly. And they trailed, and they trailed in that Detroit game.
Yep.
Yeah, they had to come back. They had a late comeback to win.
Yeah, that's a season opener, right?
Yeah, and Tyrese Halliburton hasn't begun to put his stamp on this season at all.
The big discussion this week that people are having was, who would you rather have, LaMelo Ball or Tyrese Halliburton? Who are you picking? If you're the GM of a team and you can pick either one of them to join your team, who are you going for?
Well, I'm going to go Halliburton just because he's been part of winning. And I think his personality, I think LaMelo Ball is a great talent, but he's yet to show me that he can really lead your team to winning and contribute to winning.
Yeah, but if you look at what's been around each of them,
no, I get that, but I just, as I watch them play, you know, look, LaMelo Ball is a showman. He's probably one of the best showmen in the NBA. But what I look for, I'm looking for guys who are going to do the little things that contribute to winning. I see Halliburton I've watched him during his career do that. I mean, whether it's getting 15, 16 assists in the ball game, whether it's getting 28 to 30 some games,
yeah,
solid team defender. I think he plays for the team a little more. Again, no disrespect to LaMelo Ball, but I've just yet to see him do what I would like in terms of putting the ball in his hand and leading my franchise. Again, both guys have things they need to get better at, but to answer your question, Mo, give me Halliburton.
I feel bad for LaMelo Ball because there's only been one season of his career so far when he played more than 51 games. And that year, mm-hmm. he was 20 years old, and he still became an all-star. So let's hope he can stay healthy this season, because last year he played, 22? The year before, he played 36. So let's see what he can do with a stretch of health. But the Raptors and the Nuggets. And by the way, your boy RJ Barrett has just put up three 30-point games in a row.
Yes. I watched him play the other night against Sacramento, and they won that game in overtime. Yes. Proud of RJ, how well he's playing. What he's really doing now, he's reading the game so much better than he was as a young player. I mean, when he first came into the NBA, being drafted high at the Knicks, he wanted to show that he'd come in and score and be worthy of that pick, and as it is with a lot of young players, didn't allow the game to really come to him, didn't always trust that. But you saw growth in that process too, as well, in New York. Now going into his fifth, sixth season in the NBA, you're seeing a more relaxed player. It's slowing down. His passing has really started to take off there, and that's why I believe he's scoring 30 much easier.
Well, he had 12 assists against the Lakers.
Yes, he did. And so he's making the right basketball play, and I just always believe when you make the right basketball play, Mo, you get rewarded for that in your play. And I believe he's going to continue to play big. You know, Emmanuel Quickley's out.
He's scoring efficiently as well.
Yes, and he's scoring very efficiently. With all that being said, they would need Scottie Barnes and Emmanuel Quickley to go in there and upset the Denver Nuggets, mm-hmm. I believe.
They also might need an improvement in their front court to guard Jokic, but I think every team does.
Yes.
The Sixers and the Suns, Paul George returning. You saw Devin Booker on the schedule and said, I've got to be back on the court. Who you got for winning that one?
We'll go to Clippers. I'm going to go to Clippers. The Sixers, look, I know that Joel Embiid is yet to play, and I know Paul is yet to play, even though he may play tonight, but it's the first game back. They have not looked very good as a basketball team thus far. It's early. It's not time to panic. But with that being said, I believe the Clippers will really be up for that game tonight with Paul George coming back in there, and I expect to see them win the game tonight.
Okay. Yeah. I'm expecting the Suns to win. I just think I'm going to leave that.
You're expecting the Suns to win? The Suns to win? Oh, I'm sorry. The Suns and
the Suns and the Sixers.
Sixers, Suns. Yeah, the Suns. Yeah. I'm mentioning the Clippers. Yeah,
because that's the next game on the schedule. I see you looking ahead. Clippers,
I apologize.
It's all good.
But the Suns over the Sixers for sure.
Yeah, and then the Spurs and the Clippers. You've got the Clippers winning that one.
I do have the Clippers winning that one. It was a good win for San Antonio the other day. They're just still a little bit up and down in terms of the wins. I expect the Clippers to try to figure out a way. Again, that's another team that knows they have to win as many games as they can at home, because then, you know, especially without Kawhi Leonard right now, they got to take advantage of these home games. And so I expect to see Clippers win this tonight.
I mean, have they won a game at home yet?
I don't know that they had. I thought they won. Did the Clippers win one game at home, Mo?
Was it one against the Phoenix Suns?
Suns, yes.
Was it? Or was? Yeah, because yeah.
No,
they lost at home to the Suns. They won on the road to the Nuggets. Won on the road to the Warriors.
They lost at home
to the Blazers. Lost at home to the Suns. Lost home to the Thunder.
To the Thunder. Yeah. So they're due to win at home. They got to win at home.
I'm picking the Spurs. I think those two wins at the start of the season, Zubac putting up like 25, 30 points in both of those, caught people off guard. Like, okay, cool. I'm picking the Spurs for that one, but we will see. We will see. Scott, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, as always. We look forward to you guys coming back next week. Or if you want to drop by during the week, feel more than free. I know the listeners love it as well.
Yes. Yeah, no, I will do that, Mo, because this will be a big week. In the next couple of weeks, I think the league is really going to start to take some shape here, and we're going to learn who's for real and who's pretending.
Oh, absolutely!
But give us a couple more weeks. We get to that 20 game mark.
Absolutely,
that's a good indication, and that's what I'm excited about, because it's so wide open this year, Mo. Don't you agree?
I look at it like this, right? I look at the standings, in particular the Western Conference, with the exception of the Trailblazers and the Jazz. Every single team in the West is trying to get into the playoffs. Every single one.
Yes.
That's 8 spots for 13 teams, which means there's going to be 5 teams that are going to be massively disappointed on missing out in the playoffs. And there's going to be 3 of those teams who are going to be massively disappointed not even making the play-in, which means next summer we could see 3 to 5 coaches being fired. We could see 3 to 5 GMs being replaced, or we could see 3 to 5 huge trades around the NBA. And what I love about that is it means, in theory, everyone should be playing harder than they've ever played before, because every single game has more meaning. Like, you can't lose that random throwaway game in November, because it might come back on the final day of the season when it's a one game difference in the standings between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs that you live to regret it. So I believe that. That's
but you look at, I mean, get it, I know it's 6-7 games in, but the 7th team in the West right now, Sacramento. 8 is San Antonio. So, you know, Sacramento was a playoff team, but 2 years ago, and the expectations for them to be back there again this year. San Antonio, you're expecting Victor.
See, I don't know how that's decided, because from 7 through 11, they're all teams that are 3-3.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
The Wolves, Spurs, Rockets, Nuggets, Kings. All, and then so it goes down to like divisional tiebreakers, head-to-head tiebreakers, and so on and so forth, which is why every game is so important. And then in the Eastern Conference, it's slightly different. It's not jam-packed, but you have the Cavs and the Celtics who have separated themselves at the top. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have this tier of like the Knicks, the Heat. I think the Bulls aren't really for real in that tier, but then the Magic, when they get Paolo back, that's kind of the next tier down. And then you've got the rest of the teams who got to pick a direction, whether they want to be in the playoffs or to compete for the playoffs or tank. But the most fascinating part for me is 14th and 15th in the Eastern Conference. The 76ers are 1-4. Obviously, they've had injuries, but the Milwaukee Bucks are 1-5. It's not even been 12 months since they changed their head coach. So that we went through this on Friday's episode. I think the front office and the ownership are going to have too much pride to fire the head coach. So they're not going to do that again. They're going to look to trade off pieces, but they have no leverage because everyone knows that they're panic selling. And also the pieces that they have don't have a ton of trade value intrinsically. No. So could we see a league shattering trade before the trade deadline involving a certain Greek man who lives in Milwaukee? I'm going to be glued to my TV. I'm going to have my popcorn out ready. It starts this week with the chaos of you guys having an election. And then the NBA returns on Wednesday and there will be more chaos. But I think this has the potential to be the best regular season in a number of years.
It's going to be highly competitive because, like you said, you look at the standings now. And you mentioned the Magic. The Magic have to make sure that they don't fall off the cliff. It's what I've
Just
said
stay
oftentimes,
500.
Mo. You
Just
got to
stay
try to stay
500.
five. That is the importance of depth, Mo. That's why I always argue when you if you build around one player, one great player, if he goes down, do you have enough to keep the ship afloat? And that's why when I was building teams and how I look at building teams, it always includes having depth because injuries do occur. And if you're too dependent on one guy, you're in trouble. And so we'll learn a lot about the Magic during this stretch because he's going to be out for a little while.
Well, I think they'll be okay because they're built on defense.
Yes.
I
Yeah.
think
They
they'll
build
be
on defense.
okay.
Yeah.
I
I
think you can
agree.
grind out wins in the regular season just with your defense, right? But I'll tell you what, how I judge a regular season is the final day of the regular season. How many games do I care about? Because you know, the
Yes.
final day of the regular season, most teams just rest their best players, get ready for the playoffs, whatever.
Yes.
But
Yeah.
there are some seasons where the final game is the difference between you making the playoffs or not, or you getting the one seed or not, or you getting home court advantage or not. And that's how we will judge this in the
I can see
springtime.
that.
We can refer
No
back to this
question.
episode because
Yes.
there's some seasons where it's been everyone's resting on the final day because everyone's got their seed locked up and no one cares. But this year, I think over in the West, you could have five, six teams all going for from anywhere from like 3 to 9. You know what I mean? And the
Oh
positions
yeah,
have changed.
no, oh no, look, no, it's gonna be a fight to the final game,
I got the
in
Thunder and
both
then everyone
conferences.
else. I got Thunder and then everyone else after that.
Yeah.
You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it's gonna be interesting to see. Like I said, when we get to that 20 game mark, Mo, we're gonna know a lot about these teams.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And we'll be right here to bring it to you guys at home listening. So make sure you subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. And until next time, get buckets.